Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
It all comes down to this, MG. The 2019 NRL Grand Final. The Sydney Roosters taking on the Canberra Raiders. This is our Grand Final Preview podcast. And as I sit here holding the shiny Grand Final edition of the Big League, it makes it real, doesn't it, when this rolls out?
It does. It's one of them, you can't wait for this little present to come onto your desk every year. Last year, obviously, we got the Storm and the Roosters on the front cover. This year, we have Boyd Cordner, Tedesco and Cooper Cronk for the Roosters. On the other hand, we have Croker, Papali and Hodgson.
Mm.
I suppose the three key members of both sides.
Yeah, absolutely. The two skippers taking pride of place on the front of the magazine. Let's get into it. What is your gut feel? This, if you're listening to this on Friday morning, we're a little over 2 days away from this one getting underway. What is your gut feel at this point, MG?
Look, my gut feel is that Canberra will have to play the perfect game to win. This is a really, really good Roosters team. They were there last year. The guys who were there for the first time last year now know what it's like. A lot of young blokes in the Raiders team with inexperience in the big games. Obviously, they've got a lot of rep players, but as far as grand final experience goes, there's none. Bateman overseas and Soliola overseas in the Super League. But yeah, look, it can happen. I think with my head I'm going the Roosters, but with my heart I really think destiny's in the Raiders. You know, I think destiny's is what they're aiming for.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think most of the neutrals will be with you. I think for the neutral supporters out there who don't have a dog in the fight, they'll be getting on board the Raiders because everybody loves an underdog. And it's a terrific story. And then they're also going up against the defending champions in the Sydney Roosters. So let's start with the Sydney Roosters. Back-to-back, something that is so hard to achieve in the NRL. Because you become the hunted in this game once you've won it.
Just the consummate professionals. Mm. Everything they do well. They've got their Dally M Player of the Year at fullback. They've got Dally M Centre in Mitchell. Cooper Cronk's won a couple. They've got Boyd Cordner as their inspirational captain. Hargrave's back. Their bench is, when you've got Angus Crichton, who's an Origin representative on the bench, you're going okay. So Takeyaho as well, he finds his way back on the bench. So, look, Cooper Cronk, I suppose, last year we spoke about him a lot. And
it was the story last year.
The lack of what, part he was going to play in the game, well, he basically was a passenger.
Mm.
To win against the Storm last year with 12 men was phenomenal from the Roosters, really.
Mm.
And if Cooper Cronk is to win, this will be his third grand final in a row. And not since Parramatta Eels players in 81 to 83 has it happened before. So we're heading into, rare air as far as Cooper Cronk goes.
Absolutely.
And Tedesco. Look, I think if you had to break it down and look at the Roosters, what makes them so good, they just know how to be structured and dominant against their opponents. They've got a system under Trent Robinson where Luke Keary, you find him a lot going from side to side. Often he doesn't get the ball. Often he's mostly a foil. But when he does get the ball, it's usually pay dirt. He can set something up for Manu or Mitchell, and all across the board, they've just got an amazing rugby league team.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you look back across their season as a whole, the Melbourne Storm almost did them a favour by finishing the season minor premiers and by putting a bit of a gap on the competition. The Melbourne Storm almost took attention off this Roosters outfit.
Yeah, you're right.
Who just, when you look back on their season results, they started the season with a loss to the Bunnies at the SCG, and everyone thought, oh, okay, here comes the hangover from winning it last year. But you look back, they started to, what's scary is they really, when they clicked, they put sides to the absolute sword. Round four, they knocked off the Broncos by 32 points. Round eight, we all remember that 30-point demolition of the West Tigers where Latrell Mitchell just,
scored most of the points.
Did his own thing. Round 11, they smashed the Knights by 26 points. The Titans, poor old Titans, got done by 52 points in round 20. They have put some sides to the sword when they click into gear this year. Having said that, the Raiders, they only played once this year. That was in round 21. They got the Chocolates by 4 points.
Mm.
That was a hard tussle. So the Raiders know how to stay with them.
Yeah, and that was down in Canberra, where basically Canberra have a pretty ordinary record this year. I think they've only won half of their games, maybe 6 out of or 7 out of 12 or something, counting last weekend's prelim final. But, look, I think we've got to give a big pat on the back to their coach, Trent Robinson.
Oh, yeah.
He's been in charge for 7 years. In that time, the Roosters have made 3 grand finals, won 2 premierships, claimed 4 minor premierships, and made at least the prelims in all but 1 year. So there's something special about him.
Yeah.
To be a coach with this, it's okay to have this kind of arsenal at your exposure, but to try and marshal them in the same direction, both at training, away from the game, at the game, he's got to have something special going for him. And I think he's got to be given a lot more credit than probably he gets, you know, Trent Robinson.
Yeah, he's accruing a serious CV as a coach right now. Just looking at the losses that the Roosters suffered during the year probably gives an indication of how the Raiders are likely to approach this one. It's got to be a grind. You know, you look at the losses that the Roosters suffered. They lost to the Broncos in round 10, 15-10. They lost to the Cowboys in round 17, 15-12. They lost to the Storm in round 15, 14-12. They're low scoring, close margins. You get the impression just from those results. And even the round 25 loss to the Bunnies was 16-10. The Raiders are going to need to keep them to at most 2 tries if they're going to win this thing.
Yeah, that's a really good stat. We've got the 2 best attacking teams and the 2 best defending teams, and the Raiders have got the best red zone defense in the whole competition. It takes about 18 tackles per team to try and get over the line when they're defending their own line, which is the most in the competition. So they've got a really rigid brick wall on their own line, which is a big plus when you're playing the Roosters, because you need to have. And that's something that could frustrate the Roosters. You know, that's one thing that could frustrate them. If they get there in a position where they've, you know, in past games, they've scored easily off a set move, but this time the Raiders have repelled them, well, that's a big tick for the Raiders.
Absolutely. The question, MG, before we move on to that Raiders outfit, Roosters, who is the person who's going to dictate whether they win or lose this game on field? And there's so many.
Tedesco. He's... What can you say about him? You mentioned the CV of Trent Robinson before. Well, Tedesco's CV looks like the Magna Carta. It's just running out of... If it was a tattoo, you'd have to have 4 arms. It's just amazing what he's done in the last 24 months. He's just gone next level. And I think if he gets the Clive Churchill medal this Sunday, he'll get the
It's one of the all-time seasons.
The Quadrella.
It's one of the all-time seasons.
Yeah, so I he's the danger man, and I think that if they stop him... So basically, the kick chase, which is a big strength of the Canberra Raiders, with Caesar kicking off the left foot, Whiten chasing usually, and if Whiten kicks, he chases his own, kicks down and gets there as well. So they've got to be staunch on that, the Raiders. And I think if you can stifle... I'd like to see him try a lot more high ball with Tedesco. You know, I think... If you can kick some high ball to him and then get down on him, you know, chasing, I don't even get if I'm Raiders, I don't even get the ball on the run.
No.
You want to get, you want him to get the ball in the air. And if you kick to their wingers, Morris and Tupu, well, they'll take the ball all day high.
Yeah.
You know, they're great leapers. But Tedesco, if he had any weakness at all, and I mean any weakness, if I had to find one, it'd be leaping for the ball as high as other fullbacks or other players can.
And Whiten's a unique kick chase too. That's an interesting point you make. He is, the move to 5'8" this year. Well, let's move on to the Raiders and talk about them, because their move from last year missing the finals, they finished 10th, to now they're in a grand final. You mentioned that they're the team of destiny and Ricky Stewart, the passion that he coaches with this side, although he has dialed it back a few notches from the years before. I don't think he's copped the fine this year, which is quite impressive for Rick. But it's a team full of surprises as well, because, I mean, Chance Nickel-Klokstad at fullback, prior to this season, I don't reckon anybody had him in their fantasy outfit.
No. And now he's cut his hair. We don't know who he is. No, but he's been a remarkable story. Like the Canberra Raiders have as an entity this year, they've been a remarkable story from you know, Nickel-Klokstad to the captain, Croker, who just keeps on keeping on at 29. He would never let anybody down, especially a Blues jersey. For Jack Whiten, we didn't know how he'd go at 5'8", but Ricky Stewart rolled the dice and he came up with snake's eyes.
Let's not forget that it was such an afterthought because of Kalyn Ponga's move from fullback to 5'8", which inevitably didn't work. everyone was kind of go, oh, yeah, and by the way, the Raiders are trying it with Jack Whiten as well.
Yeah.
And to absolute success. And don't forget he played centres for State of Origin as well. So yeah, he's had a remarkable year.
He's had an out-of-the-box year. And I think that up front, look, they've got obviously Papali is there. He's their main man. Soliola is a very underrated front row as well. But I think the most improved player in their team has been Joseph Tapanay.
Mm.
Good hitter, good runner, has got a good step. He's got good meters, and he's got a good motor. So, and then you've got the bench who come on. This fiery redhead, Corey Horsberg, goes well. Denamis Louis, who is fantastic with his aggression. And Emre Guler, he mightn't get much time. And Bailey Simonson, who's a guy who a couple of weeks back got his opportunity and scored against the Storm after his first touch. So there's a lot of tangibles in this game. There's a lot of tangibles that can go right and can go wrong. The Roosters, as an entity, will control most of the game. The Raiders have got to try trick shots. They've got to try things that they haven't tried all year, and they've got to introduce it to a team who's ready for anything.
Mm.
That in itself is going to be very hard to do. Raiders got to score first. If the Raiders score first, it's game on. If,
yeah.
I get the feeling that if the Roosters score first, a la against the Storm the other night, well, they could just kind of, you know, batten down the hatches and just kind of see it out.
Well, they've got Cooper Cronk who will just control the game. If they get the lead, they'll just hold the lead and manage the lead and they'll be happy with it. Not only do the Raiders have to score first, MG, I get the feeling they almost need to be in front at halftime.
Yeah.
They almost need a bit of, not fear, but nerves in the Roosters camp at halftime. You want Trent Robertson going in at halftime, having to speak to his charges and say, all right, hey.
Hey, wake up.
Hey.
Wake up.
Wake up.
Deep water.
Exactly.
You want them in deep water.
Yeah.
They haven't been in deep water much this year. And the games you mentioned there before about the losses they've had, they've all been, you know, narrow margins and they've only scored, you know, a dozen points each time they've lost. So there's a kind of there's a bromite there for the Raiders to look at. But saying one thing and then doing another thing against his star-studded rugby league team is, and as we speak at the moment, we still don't know whether their inspirational captain, Jake Friend, will play.
Yeah.
I don't think he will, personally. He's played 5 games this year. There was a stat I read yesterday where he hasn't finished one game all year, that he's come up with some niggling injury. So amazing faith to show in Friend if they play him and start him at hooker.
Absolutely.
But I don't think they would. If he does play, he'll come off the bench.
You talk about, everyone, the Mike Tyson analogy holds true. Everyone's got a plan until they get punched in the face. So I'm sure the Raiders have got a plan. It's whether they can execute on the day. You spoke about the CV of Trent Robinson, James Tedesco, Cooper Cronk. There is so much big game experience in this Roosters outfit. There is only one player in this Raiders outfit that's played in a grand final before. That's BJ Lailua.
BJ.
Joey Lailua is the only Raiders who's previously appeared in a grand final when he played for the Roosters in the 2010 decider.
I mean, he was 18 or something.
That's it.
Yeah. Did he get on? Was he on the bench? What?
I don't have that. I'm referring to my grand final edition of the big league.
Okay, yeah.
But that just shows the disparity between these two sides from a big stage experience. Quickly, question without notice, who's the best big game player you ever played with or against?
Ricky Stewart was one of them. Ricky Stewart's kicking game beat us in a lot of semi-finals when I was playing for Penrith against him. He beat us in 1990 grand final just on the back of his kicking game alone. And I was watching the 89 grand final highlights. They had a good story on Fox the other night with Blocker Roach and Benny Elias and Paul Sirenin. And they had three of the Raiders players in Mal Meninga, Steve Jackson and Ricky Stewart. And they were kind of just showing, you know, different highlights of the game. It was a really well put together TV show. And Ricky Stewart that same day, his kicking game against the Balmain Tigers won it for them. And so, yeah, Ricky Stewart was right up there. Laurie Daly, big game player. Brad Clyde, we spoke to him the other day.
A lot of Raiders there.
Alfie Langer. In the late 80s, early 90s, it was kind of us, the Penrith Panthers, the Raiders, the Broncos, and that was basically it. It was kind of out of us three who were the most dominant clubs, and they had all the big guns, Raiders, and to knock them off in 91 was something special. But this they remind me, their team reminds me a bit of this Roosters outfit at the moment, to be honest. Mm. It's just, how we beat Canberra in 1991 is we just didn't go away. We just didn't go away. I got Simmind in the second half. We had 12 men, and on watching the game back, I just watched how determined the other five front row, the other five forwards were in our team. Mm. And they just didn't go away. And, yeah. and if give any advice to the Raiders, you just got to keep it in their face.
Yeah.
The minute the Raiders smell blood, they go for the jugular. And that's exactly what the Raiders would have done when I was Simbin. If our boys, for 1 minute hesitated in their aggression, and the Raiders just got to keep coming and coming and coming until the Roosters put their white flag up, and that's going to take a lot of doing.
And I think they're aided by the fact that there are so many Englishmen in this side, because there's an element, Josh Hodgson's been here for a while, knows what it's all about, knows what these Roosters are about. I don't think John Bateman gives two hoots.
No.
I think there is, you can almost be, at times in any sport, you can almost be too respectful of a team and their ability.
You're kind of watching them and applauding. We should be tackling them.
Exactly. Yeah. But you don't want to appear disrespectful to the throne.
That's true.
But the personnel of this Raiders outfit, there is an element of, we don't care. We don't care who you are and what you've achieved. We are going to come out here and stick it to you from the first kickoff.
Yeah, exactly. The same goes with Nickel Klokstad. I watch him play. He plays like a guy who just doesn't know what he should be doing. And with all due respect, it is. Because he's a fantastic player. But he just doesn't give a damn. He doesn't care about reputations. He doesn't care about who's who in the zoo. And that's a refreshing... And Whiten plays like that. Jack Whiten plays like that. The Roosters know what they're going to do. They've done it last year against Melbourne Storm. Canberra, it's going to be the first 10 minutes is going to be very intense for the Raiders, because the bright lights, the big city, apparently the Viking clap's coming to ANZ Stadium.
That's going to be amazing.
With Mount Meninga blowing the horn. So
Mal's blowing the horn.
Yeah.
Is that confirmed?
Yeah, that's confirmed.
Wow.
So that's massive. Yeah, that's
huge.
Yeah, it is. I've got goosebumps thinking about it.
You've got an immortal going to be blowing the Viking horn.
Mm.
That's incredible.
So, and these two teams this year Roosters have used 27 players, and the Raiders have used 26.
Yeah, so it's a tight-knit.
That's amazing.
Two tight-knit teams.
That's usually the case with grand finalists. It's usually the two teams that use the less players. Because the more players you've got to use, less cohesion. This is going to be I think it's going to be a really good grand final.
Yeah, I'm excited now.
Look, I think it's going to be low scoring. I think it's going to be something like 18-16, I'm leaning towards the grand machine.
You reckon? Well, I think it has to be that scoreline for them to win.
Yeah. Otherwise,
they're not going to blow them
out
of the park.
Like Fletch said the other day when he was on the show, otherwise it could be a 36-10 Roosters.
Yeah. Hey, MG, before we finish up, and I hope everyone's enjoyed this, and look, we could sit here and break this down for days, and depending on when you're listening to this, make sure you're either tuning in Friday night, 6 o'clock for our special grand final edition Uncut Show, 2-hour edition, or you grab the podcast, because we'll have Ryan Girdler, Wade Graham, Wendell Saylor, Aaron Woods, Todd Greenberg, a whole host of characters joining us for that, and we'll put that all out on our podcast. But MG, I love that this is the way you look at games at times during the season. It's why you're one of the best tipsters in the comp. We are going to do your paper test side by side. Let's start from fullback. Yeah, basically, for those that don't know, MG goes player v player. Whichever team has the most ticks is who he generally tips.
Yep.
Let's start from fullback.
You can't go past Tedesco.
Tedesco v Nickel Klokstad. You're going with Tedesco. All right. Wing Tupo v Kotrick.
I'm going to give Kotrick a tick.
Okay. I like it. Mitchell v Croker.
Mitchell.
Mitchell.
Yeah.
Now that is a classic case of spectacular v consistency.
Yeah, it's the blue collar versus the white collar.
Yeah, yeah. All right, you're giving it to Mitchell. On the other side, Manu v Leilua. Jeez, this is a good matchup already.
I think Manu's the best centre in the world.
Yeah. All right. Morris v Rapana on the other wing.
Let's give that to Rapana.
Yeah, I thought you might. Keary and Whiten in the 5-8. Wow.
I'll give that to Whiten.
Incredible. Kronk and Caesar.
Kronk.
Sorry, Aiden. Warrior Hargraves and Papali.
Oh wow, it's like trying to tell anyone who's your best kid, who's your favourite kid.
Yeah,
Papali.
Yeah, you have to, don't you?
Yep.
Verrills and Hodgson.
Hodgson.
Yep. Lou and Soliola.
Soliola.
Yeah, the Canberra's starting to run away here. Cordner and Bateman. Oh.
Wow. Wow. Bateman.
You have to.
The reigning second row.
You have to.
Yeah.
That's remarkable. Boyd Cordner, the New South Wales captain, you know, the captain of last year's winners.
Well, through the week we've done this little exercise on the burning question about the back line.
Yeah.
And I didn't put any Raiders in the Roosters' back line. And I think this is going to be the similar with the forwards. I can't find really any room for the Roosters' forwards in the...
Boyd suffers slightly because of his injuries this year.
That's all.
Yeah.
But his last game was fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Orbison and Whitehead.
Whitehead.
And Radley and Tapine.
Tapine. I've got the six of them. Six Raiders.
So, 9-4.
Let's go to the bench.
For the starting 13. 9 to the Raiders, 4 for the Rooters. Angus Crichton and Bailey Simonson.
Crichton.
Tedovano and Gula.
Tedovano.
Butcher and Horsberg.
Ooh, that's a toss-up. I'm going Horsberg.
Okay. And Louis and Takiaho.
Takiaho.
So that levels it up somewhat. It makes it 7-10, but still 7 to the Roosters and 10 to the Raiders, which informs your tip, MG.
Raiders.
Going with the Raiders.
18-16,
Raiders win it.
Josh Hodgson gets the Clive Churchill medal.
Oh, wow. There it is. That is the Rush Hour with MG's grand final preview pod. We hope you've enjoyed it. Whether you're getting into the game on Sunday or whether you're watching it at home at a pub with some mates, enjoy it. And it's been an amazing season, regardless of what happens on Sunday, MG.
Yeah, thank you so much for your support, all you podcasters. We love you. Long time.
Oh, yeah.